if I pray anything according to his will. So I'm safe when I'm praying the word. I'm on very solid ground when I'm praying the word. Amen? And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays a prayer. Now, it's really neat when the Lord writes down the prayers for us. That would be really good. And it does give us a hint that this is really important. Amen? In Ephesians 1, in verse 15, he says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." You see where he says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Any relationship that you have in your life that you would like it to be better, does anybody have any of those? Just me? Give God thanks for that person. Just that, daily, and watch what happens. Amen? All right. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his saints, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe." The greatness of his power is toward who? Us who believe. Amen? "According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places." God knows that we must have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in order to receive anything from the Word of God. We get it by the wisdom and the revelation, right? By the Spirit. Amen? Paul said, "The gospel is foolishness to the mind, but it's spiritually discerned." Amen? Now, I'm going to pray right now this prayer for us. Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Open our eyes, open our understanding to receive what you have for us today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen if you agree. All right. Now, with a show of hands, how many of you right now have a spirit of wisdom and revelation? I do that every now and then, and I had one group maybe 150 people went over that, went over 1 John. Then I asked them, "How many of you have a spirit of wisdom revelation?" One person raised their hand. So the whole session was going over that again. So we don't have to do that. We have the spirit of wisdom revelation now. Now. Amen? Amen? So there's not one person that walks out today the same as they came in. Amen? Now, that was appetizer 2. I have here in my hand, which most of you know is possible to do, that you can take a word on the computer. It's amazing. The old days, it was the books, you know, going through the books and all that. But say, I can take a word like righteousness, or actually, she does for me, and it'll print out every scripture that has that word in it. Now, I have here the word righteous. And I have here the word righteousness. Okay? Now, there are hundreds of promises that God has made to the righteous. hundreds of them. Things like, if I am wicked, woe to me. If I am righteous, I cannot lift up my head. I am full and see my misery. This is Job having a big problem with the righteousness of God. That whole thing with Job, the whole issue was righteousness. The whole subject of the book of Job, he's talking about righteousness. And early on, he's trying to say, I'm righteous, and God isn't. After all, what did I do to deserve this? But as you read on, and we look at dozens and dozens and dozens, dozens of them, just to read a few. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord delivers him out of them all. All. Delivers out of. Not help you to tough it through with only a few scars. The righteous shall inherit the land. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. The righteous shall rejoice when he sees vengeance. He shall wash his feet and blood of the wicked. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice. In the days righteous shall flourish in abundance of peace. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his name. The righteous see and rejoice. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. And it goes on and on and on and on. Now picture yourself being at the time of Jesus, and you were a Pharisee. Or maybe you were like some of the disciples who did have a knowledge of the Word at that time, which was basically the Old Testament. And most of those scriptures I'm reading from Psalms and that and that. There are dozens and dozens of wonderful promises to the righteous. Now, you picture yourself at that time, and you read that, and you're reading and studying. You're like Paul, who was Saul, the Pharisee of Pharisees, and he knew those scriptures, and he read those, and he read those. And boy, wouldn't it really be neat to be righteous? Wouldn't it? But inside you knew you weren't. Inside you knew, I'm not. Because they understood, and we understand, that to be righteous means that you're right all the time. And you're right with God all the time. And that you're fulfilling all of the will of God all the time. Now, Jesus shows up at a time where they're running around there in the house of Israel, looking down at anybody who didn't have the scriptures, which is all the Gentiles, because certainly there's no way God would have anything to do with them. How could he possibly have anything to them? Because there's no way they could be righteous. So Jesus shows up and he says, unless your righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, in no way can you inherit the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. In no way. So they have this problem. All the promises of God, everything that God would do for anyone, is attached to their being righteous. And the only way they could be righteous is if they did everything that God said. The Ten Commandments, the offerings, all of the rules. Now, they would try to grade on a curve. I've done so many good things against so many bad things, therefore I'm okay. But you see, God is righteous. God is righteous. In a word, And the root word of righteousness is straight, unbending. Straight, unbending. That's the root word for righteousness. Straight, unbending, unswerving, consistent. So God, being righteous, never, ever, 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 ever violates his own word. Ever. That is supreme. Does not ever, ever violate his word. Ever. For anybody. For any reason. No matter what. It is the final authority. And that word works in this earth all the time, whether we believe it or we don't, because God is righteous. And when he makes a statement in his word that says, as long as the earth remains, there'll be summer, winter, fall, there'll be seasons. So when you get into all the talk about the weather and all that goes on, as long as the earth remains, but it might be colder, it might not. Let me give you another one. God, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, said, he has made the years of man 120. So far as God's concerned, you got 120 years if you want them, all you middle-aged people. Well, why do we have an issue with that? I'll tell you why we'll have an issue with it. Turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Big verse here. They're all big, but whatever one that I'm on is big. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted to the righteousness of God. See, what was the initial problem? They were ignorant of God's righteousness. They were ignorant of the fact that God is consistent in himself. He's unswervingly faithful to his covenant promise. When the force of righteousness of God is working in you and me, and we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, why? Jesus made us righteous. We have his righteousness. You cannot earn this. You cannot get this any other way other than by a gift from God that you receive by faith, not by works. Amen? And when that force of righteousness, that your faith in that righteousness of God is working in your life and my life, it brings us to places in our life where there is fruit that we can't even ever imagine arriving there in our own effort. In 1980, her and I sold everything we owned, turned it all into cash and gave it for the kingdom of God and followed Jesus. Don't regret it. I would never have done that on my own. I don't care how much I thought it would have made me righteous. If I even understood it at the time, there was no way. You see, they went about to establish their own righteousness. If you and I go about to establish our own righteousness, it must be as righteous as God is. And God says in his righteousness, you violate one thing, one rule, one time, you're guilty of all. It's an all or nothing situation. Now, for us to step out and say, I'm going to make myself as righteous as God, I might as well be saying I'm going to fly to the moon. Because that would be somewhat of a comparison of what you're saying. It'd be like going out here to the beach, I'm going to swim to Europe. To even begin to attempt to be righteous enough to do enough for God to accept us. You'd have to do that and more. But yet people, Christians, try to do that every day. I remember in the early days when we were I was part of a ministry team out of Calvary Assembly in Orlando, and we would go to different churches because the church was 7,000 at the time, and it was maybe 1979, 80, like that. And so obviously there were a lot of invitations. They wanted the pastor to come. Well, that wasn't going to happen, okay? So the ministry teams were formed, and he'd say, I can't come, but we have ministry teams that will come and minister. So that got going, and I was part of the ministry team. And we would go to what's called not old-time Pentecostal churches, Pentecostal Holiness, Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, Assembly of God, and so forth. And the way the team ministered, we'd be there 5 nights, and each one had a night. And you ministered on a particular subject. And they were great. I mean, we just saw wonderful things happen. But there was one thing that happened. See, in old time Pentecostal, the success of your teaching or your sermon or your preaching was the size of your altar call. So if you had a big response, you did great. If you had a little response, you didn't do well at all. So unfortunately, what would happen is they would try to devise ways to increase that altar call. How many of you want to be blessed? Come up here. Well, okay. Those that stayed seated didn't want to be. That kind of a thing. Well, that's what brought about, if you're not right with God, come up here. And one day, after a couple of years, the team leader said to me, John, you never make a call for people to be right. I said, I don't have to make a call for them to be right. If they confess Jesus as Lord, I don't care what they're doing, they're still right with God. And he turned red and purple and so forth. And he said, well, how can that possibly be? It has to be. It can't be any other way. Because of the righteousness of God. If God gave us the gift of right standing with him, and he did it in his son Jesus, to declare that you're not right with him is to say that God's unrighteous. And he didn't get it done. You're wrong, God. No, you're wrong. Yes or no? Because what does his word say? By one man's disobedience, sin entered the world and made mankind sinner. By one man's obedience, the Lord Jesus, in going to the cross, he made all mankind righteous. Put them in right standing with God. But what's the problem? They're ignorant of the righteousness of God. So we go about trying to establish our own. Figure out our own way where God will accept us. Figuring out our own set of rules where God will accept us. Doing those things. You say, well, John, we shouldn't do good? There is no good being done if you're trying to do or be saved by works. The Bible calls it a dead work. And dead means separation. There are people actually involved in doing, quote unquote, good things that separates them from Jesus. Well, you're talking crazy now. That ain't what I heard before. Well, then you didn't hear the word. I'm sorry. I hate to say that, but I'm sorry. You did not hear the word. It wasn't the word that you were hearing when you heard that. By grace, through faith, you're saved. Not of yourself, anguish and boast. It's a gift of God. Well, let me show you a scripture. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Is there anybody here that agrees? Just wiggle your hand a little bit. Nod like in the auction. Do the ear thing. Whatever. Okay. That we're saved by grace. One. Two. Three. Through faith. By grace through faith. You're correct, grace. Yes, grace. We're saved by grace. I didn't say grace only. I said grace, right? Now look at Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 19. I didn't want to quote the scripture without showing you the scripture. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many would be made righteous. Who was the sinner? It was Adam. And then Jesus, his obedience. Amen? Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where the sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through what? Righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is not possible for us to receive and walk in the grace of God, which we must have, unless it's through righteousness. And that's the righteousness by faith, not the righteousness that's established by works of the law or by the doing of good things. To try to say, okay, now God, I'm right with you because of what I did. Okay? All that means is if you spend your whole life doing all kinds of good things you can think of so that you can be righteous before God, that would be about swimming 1 mile off of the beach toward Europe. You have to understand the righteousness of God. He does not think one evil thought. He's incapable of an evil thought. He doesn't say anything that he doesn't keep his word. I've done it. I'll be there at 10 a.m. to meet you. I'm there at 10:20. I'm toast. I just violated my own word, and I'm unrighteous before God. Righteousness never violates its own word. Well, Pastor John, why, you know, we're talking about Jesus stilling the storm and speaking to the sick and doing this and the power in his words and all that. Why was Jesus' word so powerful? Because he never violated his own word. How you measure, it's measured back to you. That is a principle that God put into effect, and that works all the time. For saved, unsaved, for anyone. I call it the measurement principle. Do you understand the measurement principle? I become the one to determine the measure of which I'm going to have of the power of God working within me. Let me back up a step. How many of you in here know now that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Amen. God is your Father. You are saved. Heaven's your destination. You'll be with the Lord. You're in the family of God right now. You're all that. You have that. Everything that was done on the cross is yours. Okay? Now, which means that you are now the same as Jesus is. As he is, so are we in this world. 1 John. Right? We're citizens of heaven. We're in an alien place. Hostile. Right? Now God says, son, you're just like me. You have all the ability that I have. Now, you need to grow and learn. Jesus grew in wisdom and favor with God and man. So what I'm doing over here is not making me a son or daughter of God. I already am. Now I'm beginning to function as a son and daughter of the Most High God. What the enemy has succeeded in doing is get most of the body of Christ still over here trying to become what they already are, which has been given to them freely. And the Lord's saying this all over the earth, come on, get over here. Okay? Get all of whatever I've got. Receive that all so we can get on with it. And get the number of Gentiles in here. Jesus comes back. Let's get this deal done. I want your word so powerful that when you say what you say, it's done. When you say what I tell you to say, it's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. Now, there's a measurement principle. You see, I'm only going to believe God's word to the extent I believe my own. When the Lord told me that years ago, I said, thank you for the blood of Jesus. That was my first response, because instantly I realized. Can you see what I'm talking about here? You measure. And God measures it back to you the way you measure. So the Lord told me, I'm immeasurable. You can't measure me. So quit doing it. You can't measure my grace. You can't measure my mercy. You can't measure my power. You can't measure my wealth. It's limitless. Looking at the measurement principle that he put into effect, what the Lord was trying to teach me is, don't measure me. So if I'm ignorant of the righteousness of God, I am going to measure him. So how do I do that? Well, the first thing we do is what we say. There's a scripture that says, I have the unction from the Holy One and I know all things, 1 John. But yet, we just say all the time, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. We have measured God by what we just said. Not the limitlessness or the unmeasurable ability of God. When Jesus said, all things are possible, to who? Those who believe. Okay? So the measurement comes in accordance with what you believe. Jesus ministered that way. He said, according to how you believe, let it be done unto you. Was he saying, that's as much as God's going to do for you? No. He was saying, you put the limit on. You measured. Now, for those of us, I include myself, that needs to lose a few pounds, we're believing, God, you're immeasurable. Some of you are going to wake up in the morning 40 pounds lighter. How could you say that? What do you mean, how can I say that? God is immeasurable. All things are possible. The first step is you're willing to say it. Huh? Sure, you got to deal with some people saying, that guy down there going to time and I go, he is whacked out. Praise the Lord. Then I must be saying something right. Amen? Immeasurable. Now, the more that you understand, being ignorant is not to recognize, not to know, to be unacquainted with, to have no discernment, not to understand. And the opposite of ignorance is to know clearly. They being ignorant of the righteousness of God. Now, when you go around to establish your own righteousness because you don't understand his, or you do not know his, or you don't know that what he did was right, everything he says is right, everything that's going on has nothing to do with what he said. Because what he said is the way it is. Because why? Because he is righteous. It's impossible for God to lie. This is how righteous he is. If he said, right now, the sky is purple, it'd be purple. That's the righteousness of God. He can't be wrong. Amen? You see that? And the more that I understand that, the more I do not limit him. The more I don't measure him. They measured Jesus. How'd they measure Jesus? They all of them did not know he was the Lord of the universe. We know, Pharisees, we know you're a teacher come from God. They ain't going to get him saved. We know you're a prophet. The thief on the cross said one word that saved him. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today you'll be with me. Zacchaeus, Lord, rich young ruler, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher from God. What must I do to say, Lord, Lord, Lord. Amen? The force of righteousness working in us, God's righteousness working in us by faith. Thank you, Lord, I'm the righteousness of God. Thank you, Lord, I'm the righteousness, your righteousness, I'm your righteousness. Thank you, Lord, begins to work within us, begins to manifest. After all, why do we need faith? To see a manifestation within us and around us of what God said. Not complicated. Amen? To see that happen. To see a manifestation. It brings, faith brings from the realm of the Spirit what God has already done into where we are. Yes, the problem is real. That young man was sick in the hospital. Took from the Spirit what was done to manifest here. It's what Jesus did all the time. Amen? Amen? So, righteousness. God is always right. When I read a verse, and I look at that verse, and I go, how can that be? Whether you agree with that or not, that's the way it is. So when Jesus says, for example, where your treasure is, your heart is also. The only thing I have to do at that point is figure out where my treasure is. I don't go, nah, that ain't the way it works. Because it works that way for all of us. So once I know where your treasure is, from the wisdom of the Word of God, right? Is God right all the time? Did he say, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. So if your treasure is in your children, your heart's in your children. If your treasure is in the bank account, your heart's in the bank account. If your treasure is in your own skill and ability, and that's where self-righteousness comes from, treasure our own ability to save ourselves. So our heart is there. If your treasure's in Jesus, where's your heart going to be? In Jesus. I've many, many people over the years argue with me over that principle, going, that isn't the way it is with me. Give me your checkbook. I'll tell you where your heart is in 5 minutes. You know, all Lowe's and Home Depot, they count on that. That people have their hearts, their treasure in their house. So they're counting on that weekend where they're going out there to buy stuff for their house. Buy stuff to fix the house up. The more that I understand, the more that I realize the righteousness of God. Now, next week you go into what that righteousness produces, the righteousness of God and what that produces. The righteousness of God is what produced salvation for us. It produced, if you will, Jesus coming to earth. Will not the God of all the earth do what is right? righteousness of God is this. I'll make an agreement with you. And even though you break your end of the agreement, I'll still keep my end. We don't do that. I had a contract, you had a contract, deal's off. God don't make contracts. He makes covenants. And whenever he makes a covenant, he binds himself to it. And I dare say some of you, he made a covenant with you somewhere in your life where he said, this is what I'm going to do in your life. And that's unilateral. When God comes and says to you, I'm going to do this, okay, he's going to do it. You don't understand, God, I messed up too much. I made too many mistakes. I'm really not faithful. I'm blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Because he can't break his own word. And you and I are not powerful enough to get him to do it. Satan has tried for a long time. It ain't going to happen. And he knows it. Satan knows it. Amen. I'm going to pray right now. And you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So all of you during this time, you're getting revelation because the Lord is showing you. Amen? Showing you. Okay? Showing you. Now, the only way for you and I to rule and reign in this earth, which is what God wants us to do, rule and reign over the enemy, every circumstance, every situation, okay, is that we receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. Gifts are free. Amen? And when the enemy comes around and tries to tell you and show you and all of that, what you didn't do, what you did do, this and that, and tries to tie that to what God would do for you, it is a big lie. Big lie. Big lie. Your answer is, Jesus is my righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. He makes us better. We don't make ourselves better. And redemption. Amen. Let all of Vero know that Jesus is Lord and he has made Indian River County Vero righteous by his righteousness. Amen. He's going to help us out. And he's going to let us have opportunity to let them know. All of them. Amen? The more you know, the more they'll know. Who's them? The ones that God brings along for you to share with. For you to plant the seed of the word. For you to tell them the truth. That they would go free. There is no worse life, as far as I can tell, that I've seen, is a born-again believer trying to establish their own righteousness. And worse, not even knowing they're doing it. Last scripture, I promise, Galatians chapter 5. Just so you know that that crazy guy down there at Glory Tabernacle, it's telling you the word, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. You have become estranged. It means Jesus Christ is of no effect. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. What that means is everything that Jesus did on the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, is of no effect, no power, nothing in the life of that person who is trying to be justified by what they do, the works of the law. You have fallen from grace. Now, the only way that I can fall from grace is back to what I said. You don't recognize the righteousness of God, so you try to establish your own righteousness. Because grace comes through righteousness. It comes through the fact that I am in perfect right standing, and God deals with me as if I have done every single thing He's ever said, as if I have done all of the law all my life. I'm completely free, completely guiltless, completely forgiven of everything. That's how He deals with us because we're in Christ Jesus. So what's the problem? We measure it. Well, listen, from this point on, measure yourself as righteous with God. When I pray, He answers. Not because I'm a big deal. No, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus and I'm in Him, we pray, He answers. Amen? But if I go to the Lord and I'm going to pray, I'm going to say, what I did this, I did this, I did this. Nothing. Amen? Okay, how many of you right now, you need an answer from the Lord this week on something? I need about 20, but we can go with a couple. If you do, just put your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to say it out or anything like that. Unless you choose, we can agree with you for that. But we're going to pray, and we're the righteousness of God, and it shall surely be done for you. It can't be any other way. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for today. I thank You, Lord, for the Word. And I thank You, God, that You are righteous. You are straight. You are right. You are unswerving. Lord, You keep Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for that. And there's nothing too difficult for You. And Father, for each person that has just put their hand up, You know what the problem is. You know what it is they need. You know what it is they're dealing with. And we thank You, Lord, right now that where two or more agree is touching, it shall be done. And we agree right now, every need, every problem, every concern, every petition, every supplication right now is met in the name of Jesus. Everyone say with me, it is met. It is met in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.